This podcast is made possible by the generosity of supporting members. Please visit dharmaocean.org to learn more about becoming a supporting member. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In this talk, Reggie explains how meditation posture helps us surrender control and discusses the profound transformations that occur when we discover our inborn nature through embodied meditation. This talk was given at the 2013 Winter Datun Retreat, held in Crestone, Colorado.
The practice that we're going to do here in the Zen tradition, it's called Shikantaza. In the Dzogchen tradition and the Mahamudra tradition, it's called the practice of pure awareness. So basically the same exact thing. And the Shikantaza, you know, it looks very physical. Seems very physical, the posture. But really, what the Shikantaza is doing is it is removing from your arsenal impulsive behavior. When you're in the Shikantaza posture, no matter what happens, your instruction is be in your body and use the points of posture as a way to be in your body. And be aware of your breath. Now that's from the ego's point of view, that is pretty dire situation. You see, often with meditation, we may be sitting, but we leave ourselves a tremendous amount of latitude, you know, to fantasize and daydream and think about things. And, you know, many people have told me that in the beginning of the journey, you know, that's how they get to a meditation session, is they just think about things and they plan things because they can't stand it otherwise. The immense sense of desolation when you can't do that, when you can't dissociate and go into your own, you know, your own fantasy world of whatever it may be, it's like unbearable. And the great thing about Shikantaza is it plants us right in the middle of that situation. You are in a situation in Shikantaza where the only instruction is be in your body. And the way you need to know what that means. Well, what it means is a straight spine, head is lifting, chin is down, you know, the different points of the posture, and be with them, and be looking, constantly assessing, you know, and feeling. It's not a matter of thinking about it, but it's a matter of intuitive, direct perception. You know, am I actually really here, or am I wandering? Am I going someplace else? So be in your body, and part of your being in your body is being aware of the breath. And that's it. Shikantaza, interestingly, is not meditation. It's not meditation, because you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything, you're just being. Often in the other styles of meditation, you know, which I've taught, and also, you know, particularly the body work, you're always doing something. There's always something to do. Well, I could do my mantra, you know, or I could, like, try to feel the big space, or I could be, trying to relax. You know, you're always doing something. And Shikantaza, you're not doing a goddamn thing. You are doing nothing. And that creates a sense of enormous desolation and fear. And you can't really call it boredom, because it's a lot worse. Because at least with boredom, you're looking around for something to do. But here, even looking around for something to do, you've lost the posture. Even looking around for something to think about, you've lost the posture. The minute your mind starts trying to get something to hang on to, all of a sudden you'll notice, you know, and again, we're working with this, but you'll notice that all of a sudden you kind of, it's very subtle, but you all of a sudden you're not there anymore, even if you're looking around for something to hang on to. It's a very, very, from ego's viewpoint, a very, very dire situation. It's very dire. It's terrifying, actually. Unbearable. And some people during week one reported, more than one, by the way, several people reported it at the mic, you know, because we do have Q&A is a very important part of what we're doing, and comments and observations. But we also got a lot of notes, and people said, this session, you know, whatever it might be, this was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. And you couldn't really put, I mean, what's the pain? Well, it was physical, but it wasn't physical. Well, it was emotional, but it wasn't really emotional. It was the fact that there wasn't anything to do. There was no entertainment for my ego. There was no landing pad for my impulsive energy. You know, I wanted to, and there was nothing, that, you know, and it was just like be in your body. It's very desolate. It's very dire. Shikantaza is the purest form of meditation that was ever invented. It's the purest form. The posture and being aware of the breath, it's the highest and most immaculate form ever developed. Now you might say, well, this is not a Zen thing. No, not really. It's interesting that exactly the same posture that we do in Shikantaza is present in the six yogas of Naropa. But it's interesting in Tibetan Buddhism, it doesn't come up until you've, you know, done decades of practice. It's put at a very advanced level, but it's the same exact posture and the same exact problem. And another very interesting point, which we'll have to explore, is that the practice of Shikantaza, strangely enough, antedates Zen Buddhism. And in fact, it goes back to probably the 4th century BC, and it's found in Taoism. It's found in the Taoist teachings. It's found in the teachings of Zhuangzi. The Zhuangzi lived in the 4th century, and he was commenting on Lao Tzu, who seems to have lived about 200 years earlier. And within the Taoist tradition, this extreme form of being is already there. So it's all very interesting. And the Zen practitioners picked it up from Taoism. You know, the Indian Buddhists went to China, and they engaged these very interesting people, these Taoist meditators, and they realized they actually had the techniques that the Indians actually didn't quite have, and that the techniques of meditation in Taoism could serve what the Indian Buddhists were bringing and help Indian Buddhism actually take another step in terms of its own depth and its own fullness. And so it was adopted into Chan Buddhism, which is the Chinese form of Zen. So Shikantaza has been known for a long, long time. And it was also taught very widely in Tibet, beginning in the 8th century. And as I mentioned to the people who are already, you know, have been with us, the Tibetans assimilate a lot of Chan Buddhism and into both the Mahamudra tradition and the Dzogchen tradition. A lot of what is called Mahamudra and Dzogchen is actually Chan Buddhism. And then after the 12th century, it became anathema. It became literally culturally illegal to trace any of your lineage back to China. And so there was this mass denial of that tremendous influence of Chan Buddhism within Tibet and within the Tibetan lineages. But even though they denied that there was that Chinese connection, Shikantaza actually came into both Mahamudra and Dzogchen, and has been part of the tradition ever since. So, you know, it was known, very well known in Tibet and very well known in China through Chan Buddhism and the practicing lineages. So when we practice Shikantaza, this very, I would say, absolutist, ultimate meditation that is so incredibly simple and direct, we are linking ourselves with a long lineage of the people who have meditated going back at least to the 4th century BC. Now, the thing about Shikantaza, so that's the first point, is the purity and the power of that practice. It's a being practice. It's not a doing practice. It's the practice of pure awareness, which you can't practice. You cannot practice pure awareness. How are you going to do that? How can the ego, which is so busy, practice pure awareness? You can't really do it. But what you can do is you can put yourself in a container, so over time there's nothing left but pure awareness. That's ultimate Mahamudra, it's ultimate Dzogchen, and it's ultimate Chan Buddhism. So we do this. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of confusion, like, what the hell am I doing? You know, I'm not doing anything. How can I not do anything? How's that possible? How could I not do something? And we catch ourselves constantly trying to go out. Meantime, we're just here. Session after session, hour after hour, day after day. But the interesting point is, within the Shikantaza, things begin to happen. Things begin to open up. The basic teaching is that we begin to discover a really weird thing about our body through Shikantaza. And what we discover is that we do learn this, those of you who've done the meditating with the body, you know, teachings and practice those practices, we begin to realize that when we are within the body, when our awareness is within the body, we start with physical sensations, and we start with a feeling of the smallness of the body and how limited it is and how puny, really, it is in relation to the universe. But the more we go inside, the more we begin to realize there's a tremendous amount of space in there, tremendous amount of room. And what the early Chan Buddhists in China say is very similar to what is said in Tibet, which is you begin to find within the body the entire universe is actually present. So that our normal understanding is actually backwards. We think the body is here. You know, it's happening within this big universe, and then there's this little body. But actually, it's the other way around. The universe is actually within the body. It's just that we don't see it. And the more we go within the body, we begin to realize that the body, when we're within the body, we actually find the entire universe present, including everything, the farthest galaxies that we could ever imagine are already within the body. And the universe is actually, I know this sounds strange, but the so-called external world is actually a projection of the experience of the body itself. The more we go within the body, we find the totality of everything that is. The body is, as the Taoists say, the body is the prior thing. It's the what's called the anterior universe, the anterior heaven. The body is the reality that happened before we began to project it into the universe and think that it's all outside. It isn't all outside, it's actually all inside. And strangely enough, the only way we can get to that understanding is through completely stopping the projection process. And that's what Shikantaza does. It asks us to allow ourselves to be in a space where there's literally nothing to do except be. It's a being practice we're learning to be. And the more we do shikantaza, the more we realize how much everything in our whole life is about doing. Everything, even meditation, even the spiritual journey, it's all about doing, accomplishing, setting up some goal and working toward it. And the shikantaza, we have to let go over and over and over of that process of trying to do something. And we have to allow ourselves to do nothing. And that is, that's the essence of the practice. And we're given this posture, you know, you have the outer container, which holds us here in the space, but the real container is actually the shikantaza. And then within that, if we allow that container to be a closed alchemical retort, meaning a closed vessel, so there's no exits, the more we allow that to happen, the more the inner space opens up in the most unbelievable way. There's a teaching in Taoism that, you know, first we learn to completely stop, and we learn how to no longer have to display our personal grandiosity to others, and we learn how to be, you know, truly dead, nothing. And then within that nothingness, we begin to discover life, not life that's filtered through our ego, but life that arises from the immaculate source of the universe itself. We actually discover that as our own life. And then we find ourselves able to express what's called, how do you say, virtue? The. That's T-E. Virtue. And the interesting point is, you know, you read the translations and virtue is like, you know, being good and, you know, aligning yourself with things. What virtue means in the Chan teachings, which are, you know, really the Taoist teachings in a Buddhist container, what virtue is your unique qualities as a person, but more fundamentally as a manifestation of life itself. You begin to be able to express the thing in you that is unique to yourself, your individuality, if you want to say it, your unprecedented being, your unprecedented life, your completely ineffable beauty and creativity, and the reason for your being here, your reason for being at all. Why are you here? You're here to express your virtue. You're here to express what it is in you that nothing in the universe has ever expressed before. And we have to die first. And that's what shikantaza is all about. As they say in Zen, and a lot of people find this, you know, very difficult to hear, but the practice of meditation in the shikantaza style is dying over and over and over on the cushion. You know, that's kind of a thing that's said in Zen Buddhism. You die over and over and over. It means you have to let go. You want to do this, you have to let go. You want to think about that, you have to let go. And you're always coming back to the posture, and that's all there is. And that is the gate to the fullness of who not only we want to be, but we were meant to be. That's the gate to the fullness of our purpose for being at all in this universe. It's the gate to the utter transparency of our personal life to life itself. And only when we discover ourselves as an upflow of the source itself, with no hangover and nothing extra, only when we make that discovery are we truly free, and do we truly feel life flowing through us in all of its abundance and all of its power and all of its creativity. And we are finally free of the illusion that there's anything that we have to do other than what we already are. we all carry a terrible, terrible burden in life, which is that we have to be something other than what we already are. And we spend our whole life separating from what we are to try to be something else. And when we make the journey of Shikantaza, over time we free ourselves of that terrible prison, and we free ourselves to live our own life, but in the process to live out what life wants from us. It's very beautiful, it's very profound, and it's very worth doing. And that's why we're here. We're here on our own business. We're not here to, you know, to fulfill some sort of like Buddhism or Taoism or anything else. We're here for something much, much more profound and much more intimate and much more personal, which is our own life.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.